Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You know, let me turn that down a little bit, Josh. The idea of producing this show from anywhere in the world, hi Nick, is just to me, you know, as somebody who's been, who's edited tape with razor blades, somebody who's played tape cartridges in a radio station, and the idea that I now have this show being produced from Jacksonville Airport, from Josh Sirocco, the world traveler who never met a new piece of equipment he didn't like.
You can look right over here. I am outside security.
You're doing a good pan, too.
You're attracting some attention there, looks like.
He's going to get thrown out.
I found a spot that was a little quiet about 40 minutes ago, and now it's picking up. It's picking up traction.
All right. We're glad you're there and on the way up to my favorite city, Boston, yes. Massachusetts. We are joined by your Korean dad, Nick Cho. And it's so nice of you and so kind of you to get up at this early hour to join us on the West Coast as we tape this show. We're going to get to Nick in a second, find out what he's up to. And I have to start today with my usual duties of hauling my 11-year-old to school as he waits for summer down here in Southwest Florida. And look, I know there used to be laws about it, but do you remember that time when we used to have laws about texting and driving? Remember, at least in Maryland or the D.C. area, there was a big campaign about it. I am telling you,
signs in Florida saying not to text.
I witnessed more of it today.
Wherever you're going.
If you want to know why it's out there, I had a guy, you know, I don't even wonder anymore. It's not because somebody's old or somebody's slow. It's the same every time. So if you see somebody who's cruising along at 15 miles an hour on a 50 mile an hour road, it's because they're texting. And anyway, that's my only bitch, my lone bitch that I have today. I don't have the personality of this gentleman that we welcome as our guest host today. I wish I did. I consider him now that I get to know him better as we do these shows, much more so than when he was an intern on our show. I get there's an inner peace to Nick, at least the Nick that we see. I don't know if he rages privately somewhere, goes into his Your Korean Dad rage room and, you know, breaks things. But he's very chill, and he makes me feel peaceful. And that's my introduction to our main man, Nick. Nick, it's so nice to see you with your long hair today. How are you?
good. Good morning. One of the – I was thinking about it this morning. So I did wake up about 25 minutes ago. And if you had to ask, like, you know, why is it that I'll jump at any invitation to come and do this with you? I mean, this is my daily alarm, or when I do set an alarm for myself on my iPhone here, that this is what I wake up to.
So it's the old radio show.
Yeah, it's the old radio show thing. And so, you know, your fingerprints are all over my life in these different ways.
That's wonderful.
And so yeah, when these invitation sort of stuff come through.
Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful. And you are still killing it in a world where views and participation and nobody does it better than you do. And you're a lone wolf, right? I mean, do you have like a staff now that or people that, you know, help you with stuff or get you out to the world? Or do you do it all your own? I don't know if I even asked you that the last time you were on the show.
I am a one-man show when it comes to the production side of things and the creative side of things. I am very fortunate to have like Hollywood, like management, like a management team.
Okay.
So they, it's one of the first things that I had to learn. I don't think we talked about this, that I had to call up some of my LA kind of Hollywood friends when I started getting a lot of attention, because one of the questions that came up was, what's the difference between a manager and an agent?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because I've heard these terms before.
Okay.
And I would have people ask me like, do you have an agent? Do you have a manager? And I'm like, is that the same thing? Like, what are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. I don't have an agent. So for those who don't know, and even people now, like, I feel like don't understand, a manager is sort of like an advisor / like a representative. They're your people. They negotiate a lot of my contracts and agreements and
the manager does?
The manager does.
Okay.
And the agent is like, the easiest way to remember is it's like a real estate agent. They're like a salesperson. They sell you out there.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
And they can wear managers can wear agent hats and agents can wear managers hats.
There's some
crossover. I've always thought of managers as individuals. If you're a stand-up comedian or anybody that goes out and performs live, a manager is going to coordinate all of the gigs you already have, whereas an agent is going to go out and find you the work. In my case, when I was on the radio, our agent was a guy that negotiated contracts with us for radio stations. And we had one for years and years and years, a guy by the name of Don Ephraim out of Chicago. His claim to fame was that he represented Siskel and Ebert, the movie reviewers back in the day.
And his
standard line to Don and myself was, "Stay cool, guys. Stay cool." And there was one negotiation where we were at the end and we were, you know, it's always trying to squeeze a little more cash out of somebody when you're doing this. And we were at the finish line and Don was a little agitated with him, because we weren't getting exactly what we wanted. He said, "But listen, I did get you guys first class travel." And I remember Don saying something along the line, "I don't give a goddamn about first class travel." And it was a throwaway. And then we traveled so much for the show in the 2-3 years that followed that contract negotiation that I used to just look to the sky and say, "Thank you, Don Ephraim, for doing this," because it was a great way to go and it spoiled us rotten and it was cool. But you having a manager to do your contracts is for, I would assume, I don't even know if you do live stuff. Do you do live stuff? Do you go out and, you know, I know you endorse tons of things, but do you go out and do live appearances at locations?
It's come up as possibilities. I mean, anything's possible. I have a meeting next week with a book agent, a book agency, a literary agency. I've had a few of these kind of things with folks about, like, you know, you get an email like, "You ever thought about writing a book? I've represented such and such authors," you know, kind of thing. I mean, they're, you know how these things work. There are processes for each kind of vertical, each thing, whether you want to write a book or make a movie or a TV show or whatever. And, you know, like a lot of things in life, you're throwing the net out there in the different sort of lakes or streams, you know, trying the different, you know, kicking the different tires and seeing what sticks creatively and timing wise, product market fit, all that sort of stuff.
You're the definition, in my opinion, of the modern digital personality, though. You and throw out, if you don't mind, I don't want to embarrass you.
A little
you,
bit older than the sort of typical TikToker.
The influencer of today, but you know your way around the territory.
And you've got that YouTube award on display back there.
You love talking about that, Josh.
Well,
your eye goes right to it.
You've got it back there. You're showing it off.
I can't see it.
I can't see anything.
I'm the oldest one in the effing room.
It's the little gray square in the corner.
Can you throw your numbers out for the listeners that might not know you? Because you have some amazing statistics that I always make. He looks like he's frustrated that I'm having him do that.
It's the same way. That look,
is that a look because it's 5 o'clock in the morning? Or is that a look of, I don't want to brag? Is that what are you giving me that?
It is a little bit of a humble brag kind of thing.
But not when I'm asking for it. I'm asking for your numbers right now because they are when I first had you on the show, and that, by the way, has nothing to do with why you're here. Why you're here is because I like having you on the show at any opportunity I get. That is the God's honest truth. If you were a dick, I wouldn't have any interest. But your numbers,
I appreciate that.
This time around I didn't pay attention. They're pretty significant when you're out in the world of the intranets, isn't it?
I guess so. I've combined on the major platforms, I've got a little bit over 4 million followers and subscribers. Which,
wonderful. Yes.
Again, I don't know how accurate this is and how inflated it is or whatever, because it's been many years. But,
yes,
you know, when I think about Don and Mike's show,
yep,
when I would explain it to people who weren't from the area or didn't know about it, I would say like, oh, yeah, you know, in syndication, coast to coast, like about 4 million listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Back in the day, we had 48 to 50 markets, probably right around that 50 mark of syndication, and that's what kept what started the show and keeps us going today, as far as people around the country that have been with us from all over. And
the number of cities that I visited in the States, where my only frame of reference of that place is that they had an affiliate back in the day, like Fresno.
Yeah, Fred Bakersfield.
Bakersfield.
York, like, Pennsylvania.
Sacramento.
Mobile, Alabama. Interesting. I don't know how you would describe and this is to cast no aspersions on any of the cities I will mention, but I think this speaks to the talented workers at the Westwood One Radio Network, who really got us into the powerhouse markets back in the day. We had tier 2 radio markets. We did. We had a Mobile, Alabama, Sacramento. Sacramento was a big market. That was a decent. Wichita, Kansas was a great example. I said, what about Dallas? Don't have Dallas. We have Wichita, very close to Dallas. But that's what kind of kept it chugging along. So the success when someone, I don't know, Josh, you became aware of Nick first, right? You said
I believe Nick reached out.
Nick reached out, and then we researched Nick, and it was like stunning how it happened. It exploded.
He should be the one doing a cruise. It should be the Your Korean Dad cruise.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I get seasick.
Yeah, well, you'd get really seasick on our cruise, that's for sure. we're happy to have you here, and you
Thanks
know you're still
invite.
Doing the show every day. I wanted to mention that as far as your participation goes on your daily show, and this is going to make me sound like the Rube of Rubes, my wife, God bless her, has me out every day. Every single day, she said, did you do a thing? Did you do a short? Did you do? And my feeling, Nick, at my advanced age, is that, you know what? I'm doing what I do. I'm doing it right now. So these are little extras. But in the world of digital media and all of the goal being as many eyes on this show as I can possibly have, Carla's right in saying you got to get yourself out there and you have to do these little things, but it's a land that is so foreign to me, of doing a TikTok where what's it called, a stitch or a duel and stuff like that, and then the thing that you have mastered, which I would love to do if I could do it, I would do it, and I know it's not difficult for somebody like you, probably not for somebody like Josh either. But the what are they called, cap cuts, right?
That's the editing software.
With the editing, where it's like, and yeah. I love those. And those, I remember that when they first came on the scene, there were superstars based on, here's what I think.
You could be. Are you not, like, you're talking about Vine?
a Vine?
I think he's just talking about short
or Snapchat,
reels,
like short videos,
short TikToks talking to the camera. Mm-hmm. He wants to be your white dad.
Your Caucasian dad.
That's right.
It would have to be your
one.
It would have to be your Caucasian grandfather. Or I'm a niche. I'm a niche as a 65-year-old, as an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
I could find a niche for that. I could find a niche for that, you know?
Somehow, old dad.
Right?
I've seen some of the, you know, obviously, like, you know, we follow each other on these platforms, and the way that the algorithm works, you get fed up each other's videos. And the stuff that I've seen of you, that falls into the category. Like, there are different sort of buckets of these things, right? So what you're doing is like the behind the scenes, like here's a little bit, you know, if you listen to the show, if you've known me over the years, mm-hmm. like here's a little bit of a glimpse at home or behind the scenes or like daily life sort of snippets.
Right.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily, that's not the stuff that tends to, as the kids like to say, pop off.
Oh, then let me get my notebook out. Let me get well, that's good. No, I like this. This is educational
and
for me.
For the people listening, you know,
advisor.
This is something, yeah.
Yeah, consultant.
I've done a lot of consulting. I've talked to hundreds of content creators. Like, we could, you know, do a whole show just about this sort of subject. Also, what I'll tell you is, if there's such a thing as a formula or a kind of magic sort of sauce, whatever metaphor for these short form videos, you know, if you think about, let's say, stand up comedy, like the classic sort of version, setup, punchline.
Yep.
Right. That when you think about the mechanics of that and the psychology of that, it's like setup, punchline. Well, if you're a stand-up comic on stage, like people showed up to watch you or at least watch somebody. Like, it's not like you're just grabbing them off the street and trying to do a setup and punchline kind of thing, right? So the trick with these videos is that the setup has to also have a punchy quality. In other words, you got to grab people in the first two or three seconds and give them a reason to watch. And when you watch these videos, especially the ones that have gone viral, you'll see that they all fit this formula in some way. Something happened at the beginning. Sometimes it's very intentional and verbal. Sometimes you'll hear people say stuff like, let me tell you something that nobody else is going to tell you.
Okay.
Or, you know, here's a secret. Or like, here's five things, you know. And then your brain goes, here's five ways to whatever, have a successful radio career. And if that means anything to you, if you care about a radio career, then your brain automatically goes, five things. Well, what's number one? What's number five? Like, it's
so
like
much of that online now.
A ton of that. Sometimes at the beginning of the video, something like you'll see the ones where there's like a little preview of something that's gonna happen, and which is basically like movie trailer, type sort of psychology. So if there's something for you to chew on creatively, and you know, I know you well enough to know, like, you are fully capable of at least like doing the mental exercises in this way, is like, what if I want to make a video about a certain thing, what can I put at the beginning that kind of is that enticing, spicy hook? What's the hook at the beginning that might make someone want to watch? So for me, it was, hey, I'm your Korean dad. Just that little intro serves as my hook. Now, what I say after that also matters too. But at least at the very beginning of my sort of rise, like, that was enough to make people go, like, what the F did that guy just say to me? What do you mean you're my Korean dad? You know, and I there are certain things in my coffee career, in my, video content creator career, that I do think that I had a hand in developing and sort of making popular. For me, it was the your blank thing, you know. So I had identified early on when I first got started that, like, you know, kids and people on their phones, like, you're sort of in your own little world.
Right.
And so to make things that somehow, how can I take a thing where it's just like mindless videos and prank videos and whatever and make them more personal, try to connect with people, but also sort of also feed into their self-interest and self-absorbedness?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not going to offer myself up. Like, I'm not just a blank. I'm your Korean dad. I'm not just a Korean dad or the Korean dad, you know, kind of thing.
And it's instant engagement is what you're talking about too, where someone that did you, when you came up with that, was that by design, the moniker of using your as opposed to the, did you get before you started this, or did this catch you by surprise? This journey you went on.
It definitely caught me up by surprise, and it wasn't intentional in terms of like the you know popularity of what I do. It was a creative exercise. I've been making little videos since I was a kid, mm-hmm. and so you know when this platform came up, it was a little bit of a pig and slop kind of thing for me, and especially because. Generally speaking, they're relatively low production value. You know, it doesn't take a lot. I can edit it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, have things be punchy. But in fact, like the platform kind of favored a little bit more of a homegrown kind of feel rather than something that was highly produced. In fact, I've gotten to know a bunch of Hollywood sort of directors and filmmakers, and they struggle on those platforms because the way their brains work.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be part of what you're sort of experiencing too, that sort of like, you know, that low level of frustration of like, I know I have a lot to offer the world.
Yeah, right.
But
this you're absolutely right.
This platform doesn't feel like the right stage or the right spotlight.
1,000%.
Yeah. And so it's about finding that thing. It's that combination of what's within you. It's the timing out there and the zeitgeist and what people are, you know, want and need out there. I think that there is room for someone like you. I don't think it's necessarily as, hey, I'm your white brand.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
No, but it's fast. That is absolutely riveting to me when you explain it. And then I, as you're talking about it, I'm going through the millions of images that we all see and saying, oh, that setup of grabbing people right at the beginning. And I don't care if I, by the way, when you're, you know, in the late part of your career, I don't care about five things I need to do in a job interview, but I'll watch it because I'm curious, what are they saying now?
Sure.
And so even if it isn't fitting into the self-absorption, you're curious, well, what's this guy got to? So let me see if that has validity. And that
Mike,
engages
I think,
you. Yeah.
I think I want you to try that. Try a top five, but... Also,
I'd love to do. I could do 17 top fives right now off the top of my head.
But use your voices to engage as well.
Okay,
because that's what you've got.
It's funny because I mean, a lot of people tell me do the voices, but when you're talking about in terms of, I think when you talk about like you know, there's this. When you're creating a list like that, that comes easier than just randomly blabbering about one particular element. I like listing things because it makes you edit your thoughts and refine it a little bit and makes it more, I would imagine, more engaging too.
And I'd say skip a number. Confuse people.
Oh, I'll give you a great example. And when they talk about putting Easter eggs, and I'll talk to you, this is my naughty video. God, I hope. Carla, just please don't yell at me for this. All right, please. Please don't freaking yell at me for this. There is a lady online. Now, she is, and by the way, that's the thing about the world we live in. You might have seen her, you might not have seen her. That's it. But I think she's got it. I don't even pay attention to the views. I just know I like her. And she at least poses as a car salesperson. And she's blonde, and she's very attractive. I don't know what her numbers are as far as engagement, but I will tell you she's naughty, and she is not averse to suggesting very lewd things, not in a blatant way, but because, you know, it's in this land we do have to police ourselves a little bit. But she is very engaging with, would you like to buy a car? We could check out the back seat. And she's just funny. And she also does videos where she will talk about, well, if you don't, a person will say, I'm not interested in a Range Rover because they, well, then why are you on this lot? Why don't you just get off this lot? But she's very engaging, and she does that. And she's doing a video where she's sitting down and she's talking about whatever. And I noticed that She's wearing short shorts, and in the top layer of her short shorts appears to be, on the right side, balled up tissue. Like it's the only place she put some tissues, and it's not close enough where it would be another paper product in a very important location. But I said to myself, that is so, to me, and I don't look at that detail like a lot of our listeners do, is that obvious to people? And do you think she's doing that? Because I've heard you do that too. You put a little Easter egg in there to get people to engage.
Yeah, go with the short shorts.
Yeah. I mean, it's just short shorts. I don't know. You know, you put something in there that people are going, oh, I see that, you know?
Well, that kind of stuff very often is, it is intentional when it is. And it's not necessarily just for engagement. It's also for rewatching. So the kind of little details, especially when they're fleeting, they come and go real fast. Then there's part of your brain that goes like, what was that? Was that what I thought I was? Did I see what I thought I saw? You know, whether it's a little naughty thing or not.
Right.
I do think that, you know, because it would be great and in many ways advantageous, right, for you to do something that dovetailed a little bit more cleanly with the show.
Right.
One of the tricks, or like I should call it like a shortcut that you might want to try, because you do play video clips on the show and react to them.
Yeah, we'll have them.
Is that like, you know, one of the techniques is to take things that are already viral and then do a reaction afterwards with a stitch, with like, you know, you add on a little bit. And then if you did that and then added your voices element, and especially if the voice doesn't match the face, that's where it's like that kind of stuff, you know, people would eat that up. The other thing,
now,
I'll
when
throw
you
in
say
there,
voice doesn't match the face, what do you mean? Like dub it in over?
No. Like
Jennifer,
like a Charlie voice, or like any one of the voices that you do.
What an a-hole! Yeah. Anyway, that's okay. All right, I get it. I think it's fascinating
because I'm sure that there's a big part of you, right, that feels like, you know, we
talk time about has passed me by.
Yeah, product market fit. That there was a time where, you know, again, like, you know, 4 million listeners coast to coast, like, you know,
there was a time where that was kind of a joke I was making there. I get it, but I mean, I know, you know, and I'm fine. I feel like this entire opening segment is a big cry for help on my part here, but no, I'm okay.
Well,
go ahead.
This is the thing for a lot of people, right? It's like things feel like they're accelerating faster and faster. You know, we haven't even touched on AI stuff and the impact on you know, what everyone does. And so, you know, that idea of like things are changing, and the fact that you're talking about that we're talking about this at all, and that you are very clearly, honestly open to the idea of learning and had that kind of curiosity.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's like 90% of the struggle for people, right?
Nick, I saw one of your videos recently where you are talking to your dad. What does your dad think of all of this?
Great question.
He is bewildered by it all. I think that, you know, he just turned 80 this year.
God bless him.
He was a medical doctor. He's obviously retired now. I mean, he wanted for me to do something more meaningful with my life.
And I remember we discussed that.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
he still
doesn't understand. But, you know, it's like a lot of immigrant communities, his sort of like the biggest kind of impact on him was when his friends would come up to him and say, you know, my grandkids think I'm so cool because I know like that your Korean dad's dad.
That's great, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's got to, I mean, that's, I think so many people, actors, stand-up comedians, radio hosts, television hosts, in this world of show, it is, we're always, you, so many of us are creations of wanting our parents' approval. It really, really, and I think that when you talk about, a professional individual, someone who's achieved a high level of professional accomplishment. Doctor, lawyer, professor, even investment banker, you know, MBA. When you're talking about that, there, you know, and you've got somebody in the business of show, there is that striving for, well, look at me, look what I've done. And I know in many immigrant communities, that's magnified. It's even more so to a degree, at least all the stories I've heard. So we're all kind of doing that. My father's long gone, but I remember my first big radio contract, and I said, Dad, look what they're paying me to do what I do. And my father's quote, and I'll never forget it, was, what are you going to do with it? And I was like, well, you know, you could practically hear the wop, 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 you know, because I was so, I didn't get any attaboys. I don't know whether you get any attaboys from Dad, you know, really great job, Nick. Really, I am so proud. I'm an accomplished physician, but, you know, you tell people where the best part, you know, best groceries can be found to make a dad's supper. Way to go. You know, you don't get that either. And I think there are a lot of people in show business that do that.
I mean, I think if there's the one place, if I'm fishing for compliments from my dad,
mm-hmm.
and you know, with Rob being out for parenting reasons, right?
Right.
You know, that what works without fail is if all I have to do is talk about something about my kids, you know, and how they're, you know, like my older daughter just graduated college herself. Like,
absolutely.
You know,
I get it.
Last week. And so all I got to do is just tell a little anecdote there. And then that's when I get a little bit of a attaboy.
And now I still do it with my older sister. My sister is 7 years older than me. If I engage with her about Michael, my son Michael, or Catherine or Elizabeth, any of my children, that's the key to it, because it's the same thing. And when I, you know, I'll be less than a month, I'll be heading up north to Maine, surrounded by the family. And that is the seat of trying to gain approval from people. And I've been through enough therapy to know that it will never be achieved. You know, how was it? What was it put? It was put to me like this: you can never have what you won't get. That type of stuff. But real positive. Yeah. I walked out of that therapy that day going, oh, okay. So you just have to say F it. I get that. Do you get attaboys from your dad, Josh, at all? Do you get the pat on the back? I give my son
I do.
So much positive reinforcement.
I do. And I mean, I'm heading to Boston now to go to some Oriole games with my dad.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I get that, and it is cool because I get that when I go back to Camden Yards, where I'll have people that find me because of Section 336 and my Orioles talk. Mm-hmm. So I'm always with my dad during that. A couple weeks, lower, I guess it was last season, my dad was wearing a jersey that said Sirocco on the back at the stadium, and someone grabbed him in the bathroom because he knew me from either this show or 336. Wasn't sure which one.
That makes me happy when I hear that. You know, if I can gush for a second here, since Nick brought it up, I just the level of love that I have for my little man as I took him to school today, and what he's brought to me, and how did Carla put it? You know, you're taking your buddy to school tomorrow. So I can't wait. I just the idea of doing it. Every moment the kid brings me joy. Not only is he, and I don't know how he's gotten the overachieving chip, but his, you know, his academic career so much better than mine was, even at this stage of the game. It's such a just joy to be around him. I say to him often, after I counted the fingers and toes, I wanted the sense of humor to follow, and he's got it in a sophisticated way, which just makes my life delightful. I can be having the worst day in the world, and he'll just let something go that is so funny, so special. And you know what? I think a lot of parents fall into this category, Nick, where you are, and Josh is a father. He's got multiple kids under his roof, too. It falls in the category of, I at least forget how much information they are ingesting, not just in school, but on a daily basis from everywhere. And the breadth of knowledge these young people have each and every day. And what'll come out of the mouth, you know, how did you know that? Where did that come from? Oh, I know it came from that little screen on your phone or whatever. Mm. And it's amazing how the amount of information they have compared to what I had when I was a kid.
Yeah, yesterday.
Like, yeah.
Well, yesterday I had high school graduation for my daughter. And
congratulations.
And it was a horrible experience. 6 hours took forever. The whole thing was miserable.
Oh, my God.
624 people in her senior class. About 7 names a minute, I believe I timed them. And Soroka's near the end. But but as parents, we all sit there and we wait for those hours and hours just for that 2 seconds to
that
come up and
moment.
Say
oh,
that one God. Moment. And she graduated magna cum laude out of high school. Which I didn't even know was a thing. Well, didn't even know it was possible because I never had any skills
right.
like that. And it's just
no one
very
would
proud
know
of her.
That. You know, and it's
good
just
stuff.
It's amazing. It really is what our kids saw. And I love hearing you brag on this. And do you have other? Have I ever asked you? Do you have other siblings that maybe went into the fields of medicine or professional, or is it just you, Nick?
I have a younger sister.
Do you talk about her?
Your Korean mom?
We're not on speaking terms right now.
Oh my. Is that the end of that? I mean, I'd love
it's
to
not
pursue
the
it.
End of that. I mean, it's interesting. It's something, you know, it's a whole different side of family, right? Like the whole idea of in order to love yourself, you know, how what that means on all your other relationships and, you know, the idea of like kind of having that self-love, yeah, be integrated into all your relationships. And sometimes when you love yourself, it means that for certain people in your life, like you can still love them, but you have to love them from afar. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to put some distance, you know, in many different forms. And that's okay too. And it's something that I've learned later in life also. You know, I was definitely more of a people pleaser type of person and put up with a lot and thought like, well, you know, I can handle it, you know, kind of thing. And realizing the toll that's taken, you know, through different relationships too, you know. So that's
we have the that, we by the way game. we have a tape of the last conversation Nick had with his sister, and saying, you know, I'm more important than you. And well, just roll the tape, will you please? Hold on, no, I don't have it. God damn it, Michael, be a professional. Hold on. It's a funny joke. We
you need a cartridge.
Edit it.
Yeah. Plug it in.
Damn it. I'm having a day. No, I'm not. I'm having a good day, actually. This is a please roll the clip of Nick and his sister. And last word she said to him.
That is a lie.
That's mommy dearest. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. I just decided I would go with that. I have a interesting relationship with my sibling as well. I will be staying at her house in Boston. She's not there. And then I will be getting together with her. And, you know, she tells me that they've got friends coming in and that they'll, you know, she gave me the dates, was very clear to give me the dates of when friends are visiting, which in my way is just kind of a subconscious way of saying, stay away. You know, but it's complicated. You know what? This is typical when we have Nick on the show. We've only got him for one day this week. Let's take a break and we will come back with a little more. I want to talk about Korea. And the world and all the big issues, because for some reason on my weird little feed, I've been getting Korean Kim Jong-un videos. We'll be right back, everybody.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to AeroHit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
We are sponsored today by Ethos, and they ask, would your family be prepared financially if anything were to happen to you? The last thing you want your family to worry about is how they're going to pay the bills. Think about it. Tuition, your mortgage, even funeral expenses. Right, Carla? But with life insurance from Ethos, your family is protected. I always thought that the traditional life insurance process was complicated, but Ethos is an online platform that makes getting life insurance fast and easy. You can protect your family's future in minutes, not months. There's no complicated process, and it's 100% guaranteed online. It's 100% online. I meant to say that and not the guaranteed part. See, when I say, as a person that's read a lot of these commercials, 100%, I usually expect guaranteed to come afterwards. No, this is 100% online. So, no medical exam is required. You just answer a few health questions. You can get same-day coverage without ever leaving your house with Ethos. You can get a free quote and customize a rate that fits your budget. 3 million families have completed their applications and trusted Ethos to help find the right coverage. You should, too. It's more affordable than you think, and I've seen folks that really have to struggle when a loved one goes away, passes into the, shakes off the mortal coil, as it were. You can prevent this. Protect yourself and protect your family. Make things easy for everybody. Protect your family with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/TMOS. That's ethos.com/TMOS. Well, we'll do news in the third segment today, Josh, if you don't mind. For right now, we've got Nick Cho, and Nick is the Your Korean Dad character that he plays on various sitcoms from Los Angeles. And no, that's not true either. My thing is messed up. My chair. God damn it. Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
You got
back
a rug under there.
No, it lowered, right? Did your chair just lower?
No, it's my ass lowered. That's what happened. My fat ass lowered. All right, so I told Nick I'm always very careful with Nick not to, you know, it's complicated, our relationship from back in the day. We talked about that the last time he was on the show. So I really wanted to clear this with him and say, I want to talk about Korea. Even though Nick was born in Korea, he spent all of his life in the United States. But lately, the idea of it seems like when Donald Trump gets into power, we pay more attention to North Korea. It just seems to come out more often because he had the relationship with Kim Jong-un. And I've been thinking about it because he popped up on my feed on a regular basis, where I'm watching him walk into a room, Kim Jong-un, and seeing the border, the subservience, but yet the terror in his generals and the way people respond to him and all of that. And it just got me to thinking about having Nick on the show. I would have to ask you about that world over there, and whether your parents had experienced what it's like to be in South Korea and North Korea, and what it must be like to have not just a different form of government in a split country, but the most definitive totalitarian government in the world being North Korea, where the way, from what I've read, the population thinks of Kim Jong-un as a god. And really, are there dictators? There are dictators all over the globe. But this particular dictator, so much is written about it, and so much is, with the fact that they are developing the weaponry to send the United States, but not just that, just how difficult a place it is. And the mindset of people from South Korea what it must be like and how much thought they give and what they think. What do the do you have any sense of that? Talking to your father and mother, talking to other people, because you are worldwide as your Korean dad, and I'm sure you get feedback and when subjects come up. What that's a very broad topic that I throw in your lap there, but what are your thoughts on it?
Well, first I want to say happy Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month to all the folks out there. That's every May. We're coming up on the end of the month. It's been a great one this month. I mean, by the first response is like, you said that it's Kim Jong-un is just coming up on your feed. Yeah. That's the way the algorithms work. It probably has something to do with that naughty lady on the car dealership lot, right? You know, it's like,
what, that I was like looking for what, Korean porn?
No, it's just like you never know how the algorithm works.
Kim Jong-un.
Maybe there's
porn.
Some kind of
Kim Jong-un porn.
Maybe Kim Jong-un was that little wad of tissue paper that you saw stuffed down her pants. Like, you just never know the way these things are linked with each other. You know, that's
I think that there might be something to the fact that I, when it pops up, I'll take a peek because I'm fascinated by that world.
Naughty lady? Yeah.
No, I'm fascinated by the... Stop it. I'm not. No, I am fascinated by her. I always click on her. But I always click on the Kimster when I see him. When I see that fat guy walk into a room,
Of Kimstinia.
Man of Kimstinia. The Kimmeister. I'm always fascinated by that because he looks like just... I sold fat baby t-shirts on this show for a long period of time. I've been fascinated with Kim Jong-un for a long time. It's just, there's a scariness to it. There's a terrifying element to it, you know, that somebody, that people live in a world like that. It's amazing to me.
It is. I mean, it is a big topic, like you said. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, after what I said before, the second thing that comes to mind, I guess, is that, you know, I am Korean. I am your Korean dad. You know, that's part of my thing. But I'm also American. And so, you know, it is very much coming from an American's point of view and understanding, you know, being an Omera and being, you know, an Irish American, right? It's like you're somebody who I know you well enough to know that you're someone who has a better understanding of your kind of Irish heritage than most white people do in America, of the European places that and people that they come from. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit more kind of explicit in your name, you know, and again, it's something that you've talked about a lot. Like, you know, as for the amount of time that I was worked with you on the show back in the day, like, I don't know where Don Geronimo's from, like, in terms of his people. Like, he never talked about it, you know, kind of thing. So that all said, it's interesting. I've learned a lot visiting Korea and hanging out with friends out there because, you know, it's one of those questions, right? So you're driving around in, you know, outside of Seoul, and there are these weird, like, things that look like a certain kind of overpass over the highway. But then it doesn't have any stairs. It doesn't really go anywhere. So it just looks like this weird kind of thing. So I asked them, like, what is that? And they said, oh, like real casually, like, oh, those are for if there's a war, that there's explosives under there, and it falls onto the road so that it'll slow down, a potentially
North Korean invasion.
North Korean army. And I'm like, holy crap, like...
It's real.
Really? You know, and you hear about missile tests and things like that, and you're just picturing like this incredibly dense city. You know, if people have not traveled outside the States, it's hard to understand that New York City is a small, big city on the grand scheme of things. Where in the States, New York City is literally unfathomably large. You cannot wrap your brain around the size when you visit. It just goes on and on and on through the different boroughs. But that's like a smallish of the major megacities in the world, you know, and Seoul is right up there, right? Mm-hmm. And so to imagine like a bomb or something falling on a city that's dense, like, you know, you take September 11th and you multiply it by literally 1,000, you know, like how do you wrap your brain around that kind of destruction and potential loss of life. And especially if it's people that, you know, look or you know, look like me or, you know, from where I come from, you know, kind of thing. But we've also, like, you know, being in the D.C. area or anywhere, it's like, you know, speaking of September 11th or other things that happen, like these terrible sort of things, when they do happen, how many times have we gotten a call from a family member in another part of the country who hears, like, oh, that there was a school bus accident in your neck of the woods, and it makes the national news, and then they call you up, like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not every school bus hitting every car
exactly
out in this area.
Yeah, an earthquake happens in Los Angeles, and I call my daughter, is everything okay? Or the wildfires. It's every
wildfires.
Even as significant as they were, you know, she's always been, I don't want to say dismissive, but it was always like, Dad, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know,
yeah,
people exist, and they go on, and that's the way it works.
I checked the current list. New York City is number 11 as far as top cities in the world.
Size?
Size-wise. Mm-hmm. And the next
Manassas,
largest city
Manassas
in the
is
US,
number two.
Los Angeles is 24.
24?
And Chicago's 40.
Right.
And that's it in the top 50 for
Where is Bowie, Maryland? On that.
5,052.
How about Chico, California?
12.
There's another place I've been to. And
Chico.
My only frame of reference was that
Chico.
The show.
Chico. I could give, you know what? We did spend a lot of time speaking about the Sacramento suburbs. Chico, Folsom.
Mm.
You know, I think there are a couple more.
I've been to all these places now living out here in California. It's great.
Washington, D.C. is number 77.
Number 77? Tiny place.
Small, real small.
Tiny place. So,
but the point of all that is to say that, like, you know, when you talk to folks out there, you know, how do you feel with this border and this other, like, sort of despot nation across, you know, just a few miles away?
Right.
And it's just like when, you know, any weird sort of big news thing happens nearby, it's like you're talking about it, but then life goes on. We had a global pandemic and people were so interested, so focused on, you know, getting back to regular life, right? That was their, like, for a lot of people, their priority.
Right.
There's something in the human condition that sort of lends itself to, like, you want to get back to a sense of normalcy. And so you'll find normalcy in the most unnormal, like, unusual situations. So people just go through their lives. Because, you know, I've asked them, like, you know, how do you put up with this? And they'll say, like, you just have to live your life. Like, what are you going to do? Like, stress out about this every day, you know, kind of thing.
People would say to me, as far as being Irish, say, do you think you have a predisposition to alcohol consumption? And that would be like me asking you, do you think the Korean people have a predisposition to being subservient to a dictator? And, you know, they're totalitarian. I don't think it has anything to do with this. As some of our comments have made today, you know, you could make an argument for the fact that we're on that slippery slope ourselves.
Oh, there are comments coming through. I should turn that on.
Yes, some of the stuff is worthwhile. The vast majority of it isn't. But I think that we are. That's another reason I wanted to bring it up, is that the idea of the truth being obscured and the propaganda being dominant and one person pulling all the strings and making all the decisions. I mean, they talk about the death of democracy. It's very much, I think, because of that, dictators are very much in mind now, much more so than they were before. We didn't spend a lot of time dwelling on that unless they'd fire a missile up into the air.
So when
now
you're asking,
we do because of Donald Trump.
So, when you're asking about North Korea, what you're really asking is, like, what's it going to be like here?
What's it going to be when we flip and Donald Jr. is the son of the dear leader?
Right.
It's good. No, I get it. I just think it's very, very scary because it's not anything that can be stopped. It's not like it can. People don't. If you keep people down long enough and you keep the way we've already, I think we are tolerating more things in the United States that we would never have tolerated 20 years ago. Now it's like, well, that's just the way it is. It's
I think, and wouldn't you agree, like, a big part of what feeds that and lets it happen, you know, we read these stories in history books, and a lot of history is like active history, like North Korea stuff. It feels so backwards. It feels like this thing, but it's like a comic book story, right? It's like a very like it's a caricature of a place. Like you said, Kim Jong-un and all these sorts of figures feel like these sort of comic book characters, villains and different mm-hmm. things like that. And which also reduces the people down to sort of being like these background characters in a comic book also.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are real people just like you and me.
Sure.
And, you know, as far as people letting things happen or, you know, what's it like to be in that situation? I mean, that I'm sure people in Europe and other places are looking at the U.S. right now and saying the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, scary. Think about that.
Right. And when you read I keep getting headlines on my feed about how, you know, international tourism is down. People are just like feeling like, yeah, I used to want to go to Disneyland. You know, maybe we need to go to Tokyo Disneyland this year, you know, kind of thing.
It's where we are.
You know, avoiding, you know, coming here. You know, what could possibly make people, you know, feel that way? Mm-hmm. And the argument could be made that it's, well, that's just a caricature. That's just, you know, propaganda. You know, it's fine. You know, come on over, spend your euros over on our side of the pond, you know, kind of thing. But there's also, you know, there's a reason why we're talking about these things. There's a reason why there are these concerns.
I think really international travel, if you're someone living outside of the United States planning on a summer vacation over here, I think there's only about a 50% chance that you'd end up in an El Salvador prison. That's just, I think it'll be fine. We got to take a break. When we come back, we've got news of the day, and then later on, some very weird, beautiful video, as well as Josh Soroka travel log to get an update on where he's at. The man is a world traveler. I will be right back with Nick Cho on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Smalls. Listen up, all you hip cats. I have this incredible desire to do this commercial like Sammy Davis Jr. Listen up, all you hip cats and all of you hip owners. For those of you that are young, Sammy Davis Jr. was one of the legendary performers in American pop music and culture. Is your cat having digestive issues, throwing up their food, or is your cat simply in need of a diet upgrade? Well, ma'am, if so, you should check out our next sponsor, Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein. I'm not going to do the whole commercial like Sammy Davis Jr. Smalls is cat food that is protein packed, made with preservative free ingredients. Do you have a cat, Nick? Do you own a cat?
We have a dog.
You have a dog. Good boy. But I like cats too. Sure. Protein pack recipes. They're going to hate me for saying that. No, cats are beautiful. We've got a couple of neighbors of ours that have Maine Coon cats that are fantastic. I would bring them Smalls cat food. They're wonderful. Preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your very own fridge. Delivered right to your door. Cats.com. Name Smalls their best overall cat food. 35% off is what you'll get, plus an additional 50% off your first order. Head to smalls.com and use our promo code TMOS for a limited time only. Here's a review from a real Smalls customer. Her name's Elizabeth, and she said, well, my daughter's name is Elizabeth, and she has a cat. Not a friendly cat, but she's got a cat. And she says, my cat was always so-so with her usual food, but she's very enthusiastic about Smalls. Her breath is much better, and she poops much less frequently, and it doesn't smell disgusting like it used to. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that they will let you try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. Buy some right now, or meow, as Rob likes to say. What are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve for a limited time only, because you are a Mike O'Mara Show listener. You get 35% off Smalls plus an additional 50% off your first order by using the code TMOS. That's an additional 50% off when you head to smalls.com and use promo code TMOS. Again, that's Rob Spiewak's 14 pages of copy. Promo code TMOS for an additional 50% off your first order plus free shipping at smalls.com. Now we can do the newsy thingy if you have it ready. Listen to that. Man in an airport producing this show. I am thrilled beyond words, Mr. Soroka. It's so very, very cool. This is like a test drive for you. We'll talk about your world travels coming up. I'm very, very thrilled with this. We are joined by your Korean dad. Nick is joining us again at the in in the wee hours of the morning, and we are ever so grateful for him coming on the show. Let's begin, shall we? We start today with a Norm. Pop culture fans, Norm from Cheers is gone. We lost Norm. George Wendt. He died yesterday morning. He was 76. No word on the cause of death, but his family says he died peacefully in his sleep while at home. George played Norm in 11 seasons of Cheers. I forgot it was on that long. 82 to 93. The role earned him more than a few drinks in real life. Quote, "Whenever I go out," he said, "people are always sending over a beer or a round for me and my friends." In addition to the free beer, George was also nominated for 6 Emmys. It's entirely possible that his second biggest career achievement was in the 1991 Saturday Night Live sketch that I probably still quote on a monthly basis. Oh, the Bears, yeah. Mike Ditka can change the weather with his mood. Ditka, when I had my first heart attack, I loved that sketch. The Super so Fans, good. It was called on Saturday Night Live. Other TV appearances, he was on MASH. I didn't know that. Seinfeld, The Simpsons, Hot in Cleveland. Okay. And Fresh Off the Boat. I'm not sure I ever saw that one. I didn't see
that's
that.
The Asian American one.
Is it real? Well,
that's why you didn't see it.
There's the reason I didn't watch it. You set me up for that, and I just swung right at it. His film work included Fletch, Spice World, Dreamscape, and the 1985 horror comedy House. I thought that was a television show about a doctor. Sorry. George was working right up until the end in 23. He competed on The Masked Singer and reunited with the Cheers cast to present an Emmy. And here's a little-known piece of trivia. He was also Jason Sudeikis's uncle. George and Jason's mother were brother and sister. So
how about that?
The comedy, how about that? Isn't that something? Yes, it is. Safe travels, George Wendt. See you on the other side. If you're trying to be a bit health conscious, you probably don't want all the grease on your pizza. As Brian Butterfield would say, pizza, bald, 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 bald. I'm Brian Butterfield. How to get the grease off your pizza? Paris Hilton has a hack for you. This is a Paris Hilton hack. She likes
this
to
is Rob news.
She likes to take her slice and slap it cheese face down onto the outside lid of the cardboard box. That's the hack from Paris Hilton. She presses it in.
Isn't that everyone's goal to not get the cheese on the lid of the pizza box?
Well, and also there's a sanitary issue for the outside of the pizza box, which is probably not as, might have gribblies on it from being left on in different places. That's what I think with that.
Paper towels. She's a paper towel.
Well, I guess she didn't take the time. She's busy. She's a very busy person, Nick. She has to. She has things to do.
I've been in Paris Hilton's one of her old houses that she used to live in.
Well, you scared me for a second.
Did
I thought
she
you were going to say you've been in Paris Hilton, one of her old
I've
houses.
Been in Hilton's.
That's six
yes,
degrees
of
separation
house.
Right there.
Yeah.
Was it? Did it smell of perfume?
It had been converted into like a tech startup office. It was very weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hot. Anyway, that's hot. Moving right along. Oreo, more food news, recently teamed up with Post Malone for his own limited edition cookies. And now Selena Gomez has an Oreo to call her own. The only reason I put this out here is because it's one of my favorite flavors. Horchata, a horchata Oreo. I love me the horchata. I really, really do. If you don't know, and you're not worldly, it is a Mexican beverage typically made with milk, cinnamon, and rice. Yummy, yummy, loving my tummy. The cookies are chocolate cinnamon flavored with 2 layers of cream. One layer is chocolate cinnamon flavored, and the other has a sweetened condensed milk flavor with cinnamon sugar. I am all in. I would try these. Each cookie will have one of 6. This part I don't care about. 6 embossed designs, including Selena's signature. That doesn't matter to me.
That's one design for each cookie in the pack.
That's exciting.
So they get smaller and smaller.
That's wonderful. Yummy. Horchata! I'll do a video about that today, Nick. Horchata! Do you like cookies? There you go. Yeah. Is your go-to sunblock actually safe and effective? I live in Southwest Florida. Sunblock is important to me. I use a product from DermGlowSkin.com. Ding. Carla's, and I asked her if it was chemical or mineral. She said mineral, which is a good thing. According to a new report from the nonprofit EWG, Environmental Working Group, they posted in their annual report on the best sunscreens to buy, and at least by their standards, only one in four sunscreens on the market are actually safe and effective. So there. There are two types of them, chemical and mineral. Mineral-based is usually the kind you rub on like lotion. They also tend to leave more white streaks that you have to rub in. Tough tease. I think you should do it. They work by preventing UV rays getting hitting your skin. Chemical-based ones include most spray-on versions and work by creating a chemical reaction that absorbs UV rays and disperses them. You shouldn't be using those. Those are bad for you.
See, this is a Korean thing, too.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Because, well, you know, Carla's sunscreen's great.
Yes.
There's a whole Korean skincare thing.
Really?
And, you know, for those who are in the know, like the Korean sunscreens are super popular. And lately, what you're talking about right now is very timely because a few months ago, the FDA started cracking down on the import of some of these chemical sunscreens from other countries. They want only the U.S., the FDA-approved ones. Mm-hmm. But they're using the chemical ones in all the rest of the world. And so it's another one of those situations where people are like, all right, Americans, you do your thing, but you know we're gonna enjoy these different products.
Studies have
found chemicals. We like to poison ourselves instead of let other people poison us.
Which will put more poison in your body, and microplastics, the sunscreen or those Selena Gomez Oreo cookies? I wonder. Studies have found that chemicals in the chemical version end up absorbing into your bloodstream and can still be detected days or weeks later. Oh, moving right along.
My turn, you Korean.
Flag football will be one of the events in the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles in 2028. I wish I liked flag football more. My kid played it. I watch it. God, it's like watching the grass grow. You know, I like combat. I like collision sports.
Blood.
Blood, you know. Danger of concussion. That's the football I like. Summer games will run from July 14th to July 30th, and
right up the street
in Los Angeles in 28. You're gonna be going. You get your tickets yet?
I'd like to. I've never been to an Olympics, and you know, hasn't been here since what was it? 84 was here, right?
It's a big deal when it comes to LA. NFL owners will also vote probably today on. They've already voted. They've approved NFL players playing in it. The NFL owners were also voting on the Green Bay Packers proposal to ban pushing or pulling the ball carrier anywhere on the field. That's going to that's in hopes of getting rid of the tush push.
Oh, no.
That's the tush push.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I'm okay if they bag that. I didn't like it anyway, you know. I mean, it pisses me off. Big Philadelphia Eagles tush push. F them. That's what I say. finally today, a 35-year-old woman in California named Christina Peniston is facing three felony counts related to a domestic violence arrest in March after she falsely imprisoned, threatened, and then attacked her elderly mother with a fork. It was just an attempted assault. She didn't really stab her. She didn't actually stab the mother. It's unclear what they were arguing about, but police say Christina was furious. She allegedly spat at her mother, shoved her into a sofa, brandished the fork, and tried to stab her. The mother was able to hold her off and was not harmed. It is possible that drugs were involved, you think? Christina is also facing charges from a previous unrelated arrest for being caught with an opium pipe. I thought opium made you chill, man. No, remember in Tombstone when that guy goes out and shoots the gun after he's been in the opium den? Can make you just crazy, crazy angry. When police arrived, Christina threw her hands up in the air and admitted that she forked up. Get it? Thank you. That's it. You can hit the thing now. We got to take a break. We're running late. We're always running late with Nick. He's just so verbose. Yep. We'll do a quickie and beautiful video coming up with Nick Cho, your Korean dad, and Josh Rocha in the airport. And we'll be back right after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. That was loud enough to hurt my ears. The aforementioned Dermglow, it's noted that World War II historian and reenactor Mike O'Mara, let me, what did he write here? Can you hey, Josh, can you tell this copy is from Rob when he was like halfway out the door? It's noted World War II historian, nine and reenactor, Mike O'Mara. I don't understand what he's saying here. Let me talk about Carla, my live-in wife and lover. Don't have any idea what he was doing there.
I think
don't have any clue what he was doing. What's that?
I think he's trying to say World War II historian and reenactor Mike O'Mara.
And then he says, let me talk about Carla. Hey, it's noted yes. World War. Okay. All right. Now, thank you for explaining it. Josh and Rob are very, very tight. I'm not close to either one of them, Nick. So what it is here is that they speak each other's language. So Josh was able to interpret it, and now I can
translate.
Yeah, very good. Hey, it's noted World War II historian and reenactor Mike O'Mara. Let me talk about Carla, my live-in wife and lover. She's absolutely crushing it as she helps people look and feel amazing. At Dermglow, it's all about real skincare, clinical-grade products. Carla is my wife. She will help you. Customized treatments, results you can see. She's also your go-to for weight loss. She talks to people every single day. I tell her, stop it. Stop talking to so many people. Why are you helping so many people? Isn't help the best thing to have? Telehealth, she's a connector. She can hook you up with GLP-1s. Those are the game-changing meds everybody's talking about to lose serious weight. Plus, there's NAD+. All of the professionals, doctors and otherwise, say NAD+, way to go. I've done it. Energy. It's fantastic. Glutathione for detox and more. All doctor approved. Ship right to your door. The best part, fast, easy, and there are payment plans as well. So anyone can do this. No huge upfront cost. You take a quick quiz, get approved, and it comes right to your home. Go to DermGlowSkin.com right now. Whether it's for skin, weight, or wellness, Carla's got your back. That's DermGlowSkin.com. And yes, tell her Mike sent you. Feel younger and improve your reflexes. Oh, why don't you use it? I don't know what he did on this. Why don't you use it? Try not to bruise it. Jesus Christ. Buy time. Don't lose it.
I guess he gave up.
I mean,
up
really,
on trying
I'm trying. I'm just trying here to interpret this. A lonely child who's waiting. Is that MacArthur Park? What he's giving me song lyrics.
Yes, he's going into song lyrics, but he's right. Not here to explain where the lyrics come
so
from.
So that's it. Go in peace.
He kind of is here.
Yeah, it's Josh.
You know,
yes,
Mike. I can help you get back on track.
Thank you.
Because your favorite helper, not Aesop, sent a photo over.
Okay, let's
of an old intern of yours.
Oh, look at that.
Here's a photo from apparently when Nick was your intern.
Guy. What a good-looking guy, huh? And he's wearing the same glasses he wore back in high school, which is fantastic. I think it's great. How's
been
everything
just
going?
Just about 3 years before I was on the show with you. Two or three years.
Fun. Yeah, it's the wit. He had the natural comedic ability more than so many people. We're here with Nick, and Josh is in the airport. Josh, you're going to Korea today, aren't you?
He's
I might get on a plane faster because I saw my plane was just delayed,
right?
By like 30 minutes, so maybe. But I'm
he's fleeing the United States to go to Korea, where everybody's free in the South. That is, there you go. Yeah. So it's Boston to meet the fam and go see my hot Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, it's me. It's go meet my dad and brother up in Boston to go cheer on the 8 straight losses Orioles.
Wow,
the really slumping O's.
Wow, that's so depressing. But I have to.
It's really depressing.
I have to passionately root against you with my beloved team. I'll be in the friendly confines.
But we'll do no bets this weekend.
So can you give us a little pan? Maybe expand your shot and pan around the airport again. This is so fascinating. And Nick, are you traveling anywhere this summer at all? Are you going anywhere?
I was invited to Vegas. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be traveling. Yeah. I want to go to Korea this year. We'll see.
Let's see.
Look at
that.
That
seems to be
airport.
The limit there.
You're not supposed to
that's
video the
entrance.
Security, right?
Jacksonville
that's
seems
not
pretty...
security. Security's going to be this way. Jacksonville's a pretty small airport.
It looks pretty, though. Looks modern.
Those guys left.
There's security over there.
Oh, those Polish shirt guys were looking very ominous and scary. I thought you were going to be in big trouble.
No, no, no. You can see there's dolphins that jump on that little video screen there to calm you down while you're waiting for TSA.
That's exciting. Dolphins. Dolphins are dolphins. Fun. Yeah, exactly. That's good. I like that. It's so cool that you're doing all this in the airport. Did you show on air or off air your new piece of equipment that you're using? Oh, I want to see that again.
I mean, I think it was off air. It's right here.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you get it through Temu?
No, Amazon. It's a product, but it says very clearly, made in Japan, assembled in China.
Okay, let me, my update, my Temu update. Yesterday, went out, played golf with my friends. My new rangefinder, $42, worked like a charm, chargeable. And I was wearing my Temu Chinese golf shoes and my Temu Chinese orthotic that went right inside. Seamless. My feet felt wonderful. Yes.
If your rangefinder was off a foot or two, would you be able to notice?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So it's a little delay. There's a little Temu delay on it that just a little longer than I want.
Well,
Nick, have you enjoyed the
China and back?
Have you taken advantage prior to the tariffs of the pleasures of Temu in your domicile?
This shelving unit right here is from Temu.
There it is.
But I got that a few months ago. I played golf on Saturday, and again, I thought of you because every time I'm around the greens chipping in, I think about when you took my money playing for money during the commercial breaks back in the day. I'm just a kid literally making no money on the show. And I remember when you took $100 once for me. You know, this is 1995.
I took a C note from you?
I mean, we built up to it. But, you know, $95.
That'd be $1,000 today.
$1,000 today at least. You know,
that's awesome. I'm sorry Canadian. I did that. I'm sorry.
No apology. It was a great. No, so,
Nick, it was a learning experience.
And back then, Mike had no concept of money. It was just there.
Right. I threw $100 bills up in the air. I burned them my own entertainment. The money was coming in so fast and furious that I just lit $100 bills, you know. Now, I write letters to casinos to get free cash.
Gave them all out to different wives.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? As someone once said to me, Josh, what you've gone through, Mr. O'Mara, is the equivalent of two stock market crashes.
I did the math last night.
Thank you. It's fascinating. All right, we got to take a break. Nick's going. Are you going to go to Vegas at all, do you think? All right.
It's a drive from here. I can drive. So.
Yeah, drive. Go gamble.
We'll probably make it out there.
Go gamble. Now, note a very softball size stereotypical humor available right now. I did not take a swing. I did not take a swing about gambling and Korean people. I did not
do
that.
Is that a thing?
Well, Asian people. Have you been in a casino recently, Nick? Have you seen the Dragon Link and the Asian-centric slot machines that dominate casinos now?
I have seen them. Resorts World out in Las Vegas that's like a Chinese company, I think.
It might be. And of course, I wouldn't go. You know what? How about you combine the two? Don't go to South Korea. Don't go to Las Vegas. Go to Macau. There you go. We will take a break and be right back with more fun. But first, I want to video. We got beautiful video coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Legacy Box, not Macau casinos. I'd like to go to Macau. I really would. That's on my bucket list, believe it or not. Yeah, I'm not right. Hey, do you have any delightful memories? Yes. Oh, that's a bingo. Do you want to relive those good old days, but are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels, and you just aren't sure where to start? We have found the perfect solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. Plus, when you go to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started. Legacy Box will help you today. Co-founders Nick and Adam started Legacy Box in their college dorm room. Geniuses. Over a decade ago. Since then, it's grown from a team of two to the largest and most trusted digitizing company in the world. Right now, when you purchase a Legacy Box, you get 90 days free access to Legacy Box Cloud, which is the easiest way to stream, share, and download your memories. It's like Netflix, but for your home movies. You can stream your vids or pics anywhere. Download the Legacy Box Cloud. It brings you peace of mind. And now you can get even You can't lose the photos. If you tried, you couldn't do it, you clumsy person. Live in the now. Legacy Box. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 50% for a limited time only. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. And remember, wash your hands before eating. Time for the beautiful video, everybody. Very, very exciting right
now.
Look at
this.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, a VHS. What is that? Is that? I can't. I'm seeing.
Can you see it? Down.
Let me expand.
Sex, pies, and videotape.
Oh, my God. That's ancient. That is ancient.
Someone sent me this. I wonder if they can digitize this.
Send it to Legacy Box.
That's great. No, please.
Can I?
Burn it.
Just don't tell them you're associated with us.
Please.
Or that tape is.
Burn it. Nick, on the show when we were playing video the other day, 2 days ago, we had weird videos that crop up on my feed. Don't know what this says about me. They're scary. They're AI generated. They come from another land. I'm not sure. I gave Josh one last one to share with you.
This mga idol, tingnan natin kung anong klaseng nyo lang itong pinapaliguan na ito. Ayan guys, tingnan nyo, nag-iiba yung tsura nyo. Ako po, wala. Ayan, ano yan? Ano kaya yan? Guys, grabe, nakakatakot.
The AI revolution.
It's amazing.
Your algorithm is disturbing.
It's because I look at them all. They fascinate me. They really do. But I'd like to a palate cleanser after that. If you're grossed out by that, let me share something. This to me is heart attack inducing pub food, and it just looks so good that I decided to share it with our listeners.
Come back to a brand new series of Pub Grub, where I'll be showing you how to cook these amazing pub classics that deserve a spot on every tavern menu.
That's incredible.
From lamb shanks and mash, treacle sponge with custard, to Manchester eggs and beyond. If you like what you see, make sure to follow and join me as I cook these heartwarming British pub dishes, one classic at a time.
Mm. Wow.
I'd like to get on a plane right now. Go overseas and go into that pub and have it right now. That just looks wonderful. It was my little food moment.
What is that thing with the egg in the middle?
That's like a Scotch egg. A Scotch egg, which is really a yummy egg, like a hard-boiled egg or a soft-boiled egg surrounded by entrails, probably, if it's over there. Have you had a Scotch egg, Nick? Have you had one?
I've had one before. It was interesting to note that food was like 64 shades of brown.
Yes, it was.
Nothing green.
Yes, heart attack inducing brown food is what it was. And now this I would describe as name the roasted animal. If we can, I was not able to.
It looks like some type of pig.
It does look like a. Is that a pig snout? Now, here's the part that really confused me. Yummy!
Do you have an answer for what type of animal this is?
No. I assume it's a pig, too. That looks like pork, the other white meat. Let's take a pig. Yeah, that's pork. I'm pretty sure that's pork.
Or it's one of those turkey legs from King's Dominion.
Or it's one of those CGI creatures that you can eat. There it is. A roasted pig, probably. I don't know. I just gather them and share them with you because that's what I like to do. Are we all in agreement we're going to go with roasted pig? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Speaking of things that are difficult to identify, see if you can tell me what this is before it gets to the face shot. It is not a cat. All right, can you pause it? Can you stop it? All right, stop it for a second, totally, so we can say, anybody like to guess what this is?
Some kind of monkey.
Yeah, I think monkey.
You're no fun, Nick. You know, that's a bummer. He got it. All right.
Sorry. Well, it looks like a monkey.
I didn't think it looked like a monkey. I couldn't identify it from the back. Well, all right. Turn it around. It turns around. It's like a baboon or something.
I know monkeys from the back.
And listen to the sound it makes. This is the sound I make first thing in the morning. You'll hear it in a second here. Here we go. Listen carefully, please. Here we go. I'd like to isolate that one. That's good morning, Carla. Good morning, Co. Who's going to make coffee today? Moving right along, Nick, I don't know how often you listen to the show, but there was a time, and I might have referenced it because the last time you were on was closer to when it happened. I went on the Disney ride, Guardians of the Galaxy. So why are you shaking your head? What?
Yeah. Tower of Terror turned into the Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
The Guardians of the Galaxy, the space.
I was shaking my head because it's the only ride to ever make me sick.
It is.
As well, that we can relate to that.
This is a quickie. This is a throwaway, a tribute to Guardians of the Galaxy ride at...
Barbie has a great day every day, but Ken only has a great day if Barbie looks at him.
There's another guy that's gone on. Ken obviously went on Guardians of the Galaxy because it's right. Run it back one more time because take a look at this. You see it right there. She's right.
Barbie has a great day every day, but Ken only has a great day if Barbie looks at him.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
And the text on the screen says something about he should have taken Dramamine beforehand. I've never even thought about that for these rides.
People ask me all the time on this show. They say, Mike, what do you do to get ready for the show? It's a somewhat intricate process, and I thought I'd share a video that would show you exactly what I go through in preparation. There's one little exercise. It's a bit like yoga. Ever see an NFL player when they kind of hit their heads to get ready, you know, to get tough for the game? Roll the tape. You'll see what I go through. People always ask to shake your head. Just give me some comment, Nick.
I'm still thinking about your algorithm, that it brings all this stuff together.
The only thing I do is I pop on to the Book of Faces and say, bring me what you have, ladies and gentlemen. And now I think this might be another example of this, or maybe it's something I didn't know. I don't remember it. It was too long ago. It's what's in the pot again. What's cooking? A lot of food. Oh, here we go. Can someone tell me? Now, once again, I don't have the
answer. It looks like
I knew what?
It looks like laundry.
It does look like laundry to me. It looks like something.
Well, I'm avoiding where you're going.
Well, I'm just showing it to you. But it's obviously...
Nick, what do you think?
I think it's a protein.
It's nose-to-tail eating. That's what they call that, right? Like,
you got to eat all parts of it. Yeah. That's my advice to our listeners today. Eat the whole animal. Eat the whole animal, and you'll really enjoy yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, and finally, is this the last one I gave you?
I've got two more.
All right, two more. I don't know if breathing exercises for today. Can we skip breathing exercises?
Of course.
Because it really is I want to do it in the show, maybe when Rob gets back so we can all just mellow. It's just a breathing exercise to go to sleep. I've seen this multiple times. You've all seen this online, but I've never had the opportunity. If it presents itself, I may try this. But it's the old trick where if someone's sleeping in your car, you surprise them by feigning being in a terrible collision. It's usually from the front. But in this particular case, it was the side window, and I just, I don't know, maybe I'm sick. I love this. Roll the tape. See the semi there? I have a small brain. One more time on that one, if you can, please. I love this. There's the truck. That works for me. And it's real. At least I think it's real. Yeah.
I didn't think it was real until the punch afterwards. Yes. Where he's angry.
That's the confirmation.
That's what sold it for me.
Before we get out of here, the last thing I want to do, Nick, anything you want to mention, anything you, any business you want to take care of, anything you want to promote, anything, your coffee business, your diplomatic liaison with the North, which we're all very excited about. that's why he didn't want to tell you. That's why he's traveling to Korea.
I came this close to having a trip to North Korea. It didn't come together back when I was a, you know, full-time coffee expert. We're trying to do like a barista ambassador sort of program to the North Korea sort of thing. Like, do they have cappuccinos in North Korea? Let's go find out, you know, kind of thing. But it didn't come together.
Okay.
My father has been to North Korea 2 times.
And his experience both times?
Both times he came back early because it was a rough situation. I mean, you got to remember.
Sad, I would imagine.
Sad. He has a brother. I'm assuming he's passed on because he was older than my father.
Okay.
But, you know, it's one of those like real tearjerker kind of war stories, you know, when my uncle ended up kind of essentially defecting as a young person to North Korea and then kind of getting stuck up there. So then he wanted to go visit him and his family and
that's gut-wrenching.
Yeah, but it was rough.
Absolutely gut-wrenching. Well, continue to do what you do. Your generosity of coming on this show is truly appreciated. Your content, the Your Korean Dad, is uplifting to so many people. You do a great job with it, and I wish you continued success. And I think when you were talking earlier in the show about talking and considering perhaps putting pen to paper, I think you could write a mean book, my friend. I think you really could. It would be great to see you do that. I think it would be awesome.
I appreciate it. Always a good time.
Thank you very much, Nick. We appreciate that. Josh, safe travels to Boston. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode with Josh Soroka in the belly of the beast, home of the Boston Red Sox, Beantown, ladies and gentlemen. For now, we got to get out of here. For Nick Cho and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody. There's the music right there. I'll play this for Nick once again. Just one little tape here that I wanted to share with everybody. Hold on just a second. It's almost here. I'm getting it right now. For those of you that missed the early part of the show, this is Nick talking to his sister.
That is a lie.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.